may pass, and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy.
Aren't you glad that 10,000 years we will still be praising the King of Glory? Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We're continuing our series on the attributes of God. This morning we're going to be looking at the attributes of Savior and Keeper. Aren't you glad that the God that saves you is the God that will keep you? Praise God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you are our Savior. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We just pray, Lord, that you would anoint the words of this message, anoint our ears to hear, and our hearts to perceive what the Lord has for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Back in the 1950s, it wasn't uncommon to see on the marquee in front of churches two words, Jesus saves. Pretty common. When the angel told Mary that she was to name her son Jesus, actually the word is Yeshua, where we get the word Joshua. It means Jehovah saves. The title, the name that was given to Jesus by the angels, Joshua, it means God saves. That's his mission, to save lost sinners like you and me. I remember listening to Mike Warnke years ago. He said when he was a kid, he saw a church that had the sign Jesus saves, and he saved marbles and wondered what Jesus saved. Some people don't understand what that means. It means saves from sin, saved from hell, saved from judgment. Aren't you glad that I'm saved from the wrath of God? In Psalm 27:1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The Lord is my light and my salvation. My salvation is not in what I can do, what I can say, my church attendance. The Lord is my salvation. I look to Him for my help. Is anyone stronger than God? Is my weakness greater than God's strength? The Lord is able to save me. Sometimes you tell people that and they may say things like, "Well, you don't know what I've done, preacher." You know, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how deep your sins go. It doesn't matter if you murdered someone and buried them in your basement. If you cry out on the Lord and you're repentant, He can save you. Amen. God is stronger. He is my light and my strength. He is my salvation. Therefore, I will not fear anyone or anything. Sometimes things come up in our life. And it scares us. It feels like God is not on the throne. Sometimes situations happen. Sometimes we lose loved ones. Sometimes people change. It doesn't matter. God is stronger. God is our salvation. He said, "You are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I'm here to tell you this morning that when you feel fearful, when you feel anxiety, when you're not sure about the situations in your life, you can go to Him. The Lord is our strength and our light and our salvation. I will not fear. Amen. Psalm 37:39, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble." So when I feel troubled, the Lord is my strength. In Isaiah 12:2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." You know, you cannot say, "I'm a Christian, I'm saved," and then be fearful. We are tempted to be fearful, but we have to put our faith and trust in God. Amen? He said, "God is my salvation. I will trust." Say that with me. I will trust. I have to trust God. The God that saved me is the God that keeps me. That is His attribute. That is who He is. He is God my Savior, God my keeper. In Him I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and He has also become my salvation. I tell you what, when Jehoshaphat was facing one of the greatest armies of his life, when it looked like, because he was so outnumbered, there was no hope, he began to praise the beauty of holiness, and God saved him. There is power in praise. Amen? You can praise your way to victory because God is your salvation this morning. I will trust and not be afraid. Jehovah is my strength, my song, my salvation. Well, I don't know. You guys are maybe a popsicles out there this morning. Jehovah is my strength, my song, my salvation. Is He yours? He is my strength, my song, and my salvation. I look to Him. In time of trouble, I'm not afraid. I don't get shaken. I can't get shaken. I have gotten shaken, and then I had to repent and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I acted like an idiot. You are my strength. You are my song, and You are my salvation. I will put my trust in the Lord this morning." Now, people think of salvation as a place or a time. And we say that, actually. I posted something this morning, you know, about when I got saved. We say that. Well, when did you get saved? Are you saved? Yes. When did you get saved? Well, I got saved when I was 12, or when I was 20, or when I was 30. Well, I got saved at this church, and I can take you to the altar, and I can show you the place. And that's all true. But there is a reality greater than that. Because really the actuality is the same actuality as the rapture. Now Paul said there is coming a time when the dead in Christ will rise, in which we are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So it's true that there is a place and a time. There was a rapture. There is a place and a time when you got saved. But the reality is, when Jesus was talking to Martha at the death of Lazarus, she said, "Yes, Lord, I know he'll rise in the resurrection." And Jesus said, "Martha, you got it wrong. I am the resurrection and the life." And so my salvation is, yes, there was a place and a time, but really my salvation is not pointing to Nebraska. My salvation is still pointing to Jesus. Just as he is the resurrection and life, he is my salvation. Amen. My hope is not on a bent knee or an altar or a song or a hymn or a prayer. My hope is in Jesus Christ. He is my salvation this morning. It's Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus at the noontime, Jesus when I lay down at night, Jesus when they put my body in a casket, Jesus holds me, Jesus keeps me. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my salvation. I am saved in him. Glory. Now Isaiah 25 and verse 9, he says, "And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him." I love this verse, because I can see me wanting to be in the front. But let me say it. All you soothsayers and all you mockers and all you hypocrites and all you liars and backbiters, you people who said, "Oh, you're one of those people. You're a Bible thumper. You're this." And they laugh at you and say, "Haven't you read Freud? Haven't you read that we came from apes? Haven't you?" And then at the end, I say, wait a minute, let me say, "This is the Lord. I'd like to introduce you to him. We've waited for him." And that's what salvation is. You see, salvation is waiting on the Lord. Amen. Because just as we read this morning, after Nebuchadnezzar's 7 time periods, God restored him. And you know what? I may go through some valleys in my life. I may shed some tears and I may have some heartaches. But I'm still waiting on Jesus Christ. He is my salvation. He is my keeper. And I will see him face to face. Amen. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. And the next part of that verse, Isaiah 25:9, "And he will save us." And he will save us. You see, redemption is twofold. Redemption is twofold. When I bowed my heart and knee and I said, "Jesus, I believe," then the Bible says my name was written in heaven. I was one of the redeemed. But I am not fully redeemed until I shed this earthly tent that I live in. I'm still subject to sin and bondage and judgment because of the sins of my life. But one day I'm going to shed this tent and I'm going to move into my mansion. And then I will be fully redeemed, fully saved, fully complete in him. And so he said that in that day when we have shed our tent and we're in our glorified body and we are ruling and reigning planet earth with Jesus Christ, then we will say, "This is the Lord. We waited for him and he has saved us." Hallelujah to God. This is the Lord. We've waited for him and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. You know, it's his salvation, it's not mine. It was his master plan. It was his plan. God had a love story planned from the foundations of the earth. And that was that in the fullness of time, he would send his son to die and become a propitiation for the sins of lost man. What a beautiful love story God made from the very foundations of the earth. And we get to participate in it. And we say, "This is the Lord. We waited for him. And he will, and we will be glad and rejoice in his plan of salvation." What a great story. And finally, Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." Let's say that together. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." Say it again. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." One more time. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." You know, circumstance and situation can often make us feel like God has abandoned his throne, that he doesn't care. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He is mighty. He will save. He will save. He will save wayward sons, wayward daughters, unsaved loved ones, lost humanity. God has the power to save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing, Nola, with singing. You know, we often think about us singing, but we don't think about God singing, do we? But you know what? The Bible says the angels broke into it and did a little jig when you got saved. And when you read the story of the prodigal son, the father was running to meet him. God loves you. He wants you with him. He has the power to save. Now, in all of this, I do have responsibilities. I have two responsibilities primarily in the Word. Obviously, you know, I have to keep the Word, but my two primary responsibilities, number one, Romans 10:9, most of us can quote this. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I have to be willing to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. It's twofold. I can't do one and not the other. I have to believe in my heart, and then I have to confess him. Some of those old-timers used to say when someone would come to the altar and give their life to Jesus, go tell three people you got saved. If you can't do that, you aren't saved. If you fear man more than God, you haven't got it yet. Because when you get it, you'll want to tell people. You will want to tell people. When I first got saved, one of my favorite musical artists was a fellow by the name of Don Francisco. And he has an album called I Gotta Tell Somebody. I gotta tell somebody what Jesus did for me. It's a powerful song about a man who healed his daughter and said, now don't tell anyone. Gotta tell somebody what Jesus did for me. And aren't you glad Jesus did something for you this morning? Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Aren't you glad your name is written in heaven? Aren't you glad that you no longer fear death? The attribute of God is he is my Savior. I didn't just become religious back on November 21st, 1979. I got saved. My name was written in heaven. Jesus moved in on the inside. The people that say that Christians can be demon-possessed, they don't know what salvation is. When Jesus moves in, he put up a sign, no room for rent. Jesus lives in my heart. He's in my heart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Saved. I got saved. Praise God. I wrote my mother a letter, November 21st, 97. Mom, most important letter I've ever written. The day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. She said she cried. Well, that's good, Mom, but what are you going to do now? Get right with God. Get saved, too. You can experience this. I love the way R.W. Shambach says, it's like taking a shower on the inside. I mean, the grass is greener, the sky is bluer. There's a song in your heart, saved. Saved. Salvation. So I have to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. The second thing I have to do, Matthew 10:22, Jesus speaking about the last days, he said, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures unto the end shall be saved. You see, this is something that they don't tell you about, preachers don't tell you about when you're getting recruited. That's what another way of saying an altar call, right? They don't tell you that all of a sudden the crosshairs of the big guns of hell are going to be pointing at your head. That you're going to enter a spiritual battle. I think everybody ought to have to read Ephesians chapter 6 before they get saved. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers and the demons of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But Jesus said, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. I tell you what, this glorious life as a Christian is great, but it is also a life of endurance. You have to get tough skin. You got to hate the devil as much as he hates you. And you can't let anyone or anything separate you from God. And I mean, they can. In fact, in Revelation it says, talks about others stealing your crown. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means that somebody, you love the creature more than the creator. It means that you put somebody else on that altar of your heart instead of Jesus. That can't happen. You have to endure to the end. You have to hold on. That's why that verse in Isaiah said, "This is the Lord. We have waited on Him." That implies I didn't lose what I got. I held on to it. I held on to it. I didn't care if hell screamed so loud in my ears. I'm holding on. I'm believing. I'm believing. I won't stop believing. Doesn't matter what the devil says. Doesn't matter what Congress does. Doesn't matter what our government does. Doesn't matter if it becomes illegal to be a Christian. I will wear that badge proudly. I am enduring until the end, and I am saved. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So we all know, you know, Jesus said, and I don't even think I'm preaching to the choir, I'm the way, the truth, the life, the door, the gate, the shepherd. There's no other way, in the story. You know, we're not even going to debate that. But some may say, you don't know how weak I am. I want to be a Christian, but I can't stop drinking my Orange Crush. You don't know what I'm talking about? Get last week's message. Right? That brings us to the second attribute of God, our keeper. Aren't you glad the God that saves me is the God that keeps me? I'm glad, because I'm pretty ornery. I'm pretty hard-headed. I have a tendency to go left when I should go right. I know the rest of you saints are perfect, but I'm a long way from it. Hallelujah. Acts 2:21. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever surely means me. Remember that old hymn, Viola? Those old Assembly of God churches? "Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me." Whosoever means me. That means that God doesn't look at you and say, "Well, I don't think he can make it. I'm not even going to mess with him." Whosoever means whosoever. It means everybody. Romans 5:18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came," talking about Adam, "upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." All men means all men, all mankind. It means you. Doesn't matter what your addictions are. Doesn't matter what your hang-ups are. Doesn't matter how weak you are. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to change you. All men means all men. So, he that saves me is he that keeps me. Genesis 28:15. "And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all the places where you go." I love that verse. Now, that was written in Genesis 28. God was speaking to the patriarchs, but he's also speaking to me. Because I've been grafted into the tree. I'm one of those patriarchs, and so are you. And so I can personalize this verse written in Genesis 28. And God is saying, "Behold, I am with you, Roger." You can put your name there. "And I will keep you in all the places wherever you go. And I will bring you again into this land." Now, he was talking about the promised land that he had made to Abraham. But see, I see that as heaven. I see that God in heaven saying to me, "Roger, I'm going to keep you in all the ways you go. And there is a day when I will bring you into this land." Amen. What a precious promise. That God, my Savior, is God, my keeper. That he's going to keep me. He's going to be with me. And he's going to bring me into his land. Glory to God. And then he goes on to say, "For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Wow. What a promise. You know, there's been a few times in my life when I was really low, I'd say, "Lord, I don't know why you called me in the ministry. You should have called somebody else. I'm inadequate. I'm full of faults." And God doesn't ever respond to those statements. Because he's my keeper. And when I say that, I'm insulting him. He said, "I will never leave you. And I will keep you. And I will watch over you. And I will bring you into my land." That's a great promise from God. And maybe you're like me, sometimes you get down. You look at your own flaws and you think, oh, I don't know if I can make it. Well, you know what? None of us can make it without God. But the God that saved me is the God that keeps me. He's my keeper. And he has made a promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will do what I promised I will do. My word I have spoken over you. You are mine. Psalm 121:4, behold, he that keeps Israel neither sleeps nor slumber. Now, as I said earlier, we've been grafted into the tree. We are the body of Christ. We are precious in his eyes. And just as he never sleeps and slumbers, he that watches over Israel, he doesn't sleep or slumber when he watches over you. Some people have trouble getting their mind around this. As we talk about the attributes of God, we say, well, how can God watch over me with that detail when I'm only one insignificant person on a planet of billions? Well, your problem is that you think like a man and not God. You see, God exists outside of time. If I was a man and I was inside time, I wouldn't have time to watch over everybody in the billions. But when you step outside of time, you get all the time in the world. You can watch over me intimately, and you can watch over someone in communist China intimately, and in Asia intimately, and in Russia, and in the Ukraine, and in South Africa, and in the Middle East. You can do it all at the same time because you're God. Jesus said that your Father in heaven sees a sparrow when he falls, and aren't you more precious than sparrows? I can't get my mind around it. I just accept it. That he that watches over me and you never sleeps. He always has his eyes on you. He's my keeper. I'm glad. In John 17:11, Jesus speaking, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. He's praying to God. He's getting ready to leave. He's not going to be there for his disciples. So he's praying to God. I'm getting ready to leave this world, but these are still going to be here in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. That was the prayer of Jesus. The prayer of Jesus to God the Father is that the Father would keep the ones that came to him. Now, you might say, well, can God really keep me? Can God really keep me? Can God help me when I stumble and fall and I say I won't do it again and I do it again? You know, at some point, God must want to wash his hands of me. Well, if that's the case, why would Jesus Christ pray to the Father that he keep you? I got good news for you. He's going to keep you. You may have weaknesses and you may have flaws. You may stumble and you may trip. But the God that saved you is the God that keeps you. And he will see you through until the end. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Now, what things is Paul talking about? He's in jail. You know, I get discouraged sometime and then I think about Paul, who inspired us while he was in jail, who's writing inspirational statements to me while he's in jail. Oh, that I could be like Paul. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What day is he talking about? The day of judgment. The day when sinners are thrown into the lake of fire, into hell. And he's looking forward to the day when God, you know, we talked about it in Sunday school, that the judgment's pronounced, but sometimes it's a year later, like it was with Nebuchadnezzar. And we know there is a future day set by God in eternity when he will come back and stop this madness. cast the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire, and judgment will come. Judgment day is coming. That day. But Paul reminded us from jail that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. When I said, Lord, I'll follow you, I didn't know I was getting ready to start a spiritual battle. I didn't know the big guns of hell were going to be pointing at me. And as a pastor, I have a lot of bullet holes in me. I can tell you that right now, my spiritual armor. But God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. The God that saves me is the God that keeps me. The God that saved me is the God that keeps me, and he is able. You say, well, Richard, I don't think I have what it takes to live for Jesus. Welcome to the club. But he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Amen. Come on up, Nola. As we get ready to close, I want to tell you, and I don't always read other translations, but this one was very interesting. That last verse in 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That keep what I have committed to him can be phrased as guard my deposit. You see, when I go to the bank and I put money in the bank, I might say, is your bank insured by the national, what is it called, NDIC, whatever it is? That means that if the bank fails or if it gets robbed, my money is secure. And they may say, oh yes, you can put your money in us with confidence, Mr. Jones. We have guards that guard your money, and we're insured to make sure that your investment is secure. Well, the translation, guard my deposit. You see, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and said, I believe this glorious, great story that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, and that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus rose from the dead, I'm saved. I made a deposit in heaven. My confession was my deposit. And that deposit is secure today. I don't have to be afraid. I'm not talking about eternal security. I'm not saying you can't sin away your salvation. There comes a time. There is a line. But, you know, Baptists say there is no line, and Pentecostals draw the line way too close to God. His mercies are new every morning. And I have faith that he can guard my deposit. I have faith that he's bigger than my weakness, that he's bigger than my fears, that he's bigger than my flaws and my sins. I have faith in his ability, not mine. He can guard my deposit. And he who brought me to the nail-scarred cross of Christ will keep me against that day. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that the God that saved me is the God that will keep me. It doesn't matter how weak I can be at times, my weakness is made perfect in his strength. My flaws will become the praises of his glorious power, for he is my Savior and he is my keeper. He is my Savior and he is my keeper. Yes, he is. In Jesus' name, amen.